As a result of practicing mindfulness for decades, it became apparent to me quite a long time ago that so much and so many of the thoughts that I have, and the only reason that I can be aware that I'm having these thoughts, is that I am paying attention to them, that ultimately the practice, the more I engage in it and realizing that it is just simply about being aware of my thoughts, being aware of the fact that I am having them, being aware of the content of them, and not analyzing them, not judging them, just simply recognizing that they occur. When I said that I am having these thoughts, it has also brought about a shift in my consciousness that allows me to realize that the thoughts themselves, when I say I'm having these thoughts, on a different level of consciousness, there is no me having these thoughts. I'm not denying that I am a distinct living being and a human being that has this personality and living with the psychological memories of all that has occurred on my life journey. But there is really an aspect of these thoughts that can be, if I choose to, once I take the opportunity to really benefit from this shift that takes place. And this has nothing to do with me as a person, with me as a distinct being. It is really more along the lines of the power of the practice, what it actually really can, what it really will result in as a result of me practicing it, is that I can begin to recognize that there are these thoughts. When I have some headspace between my consciousness and my awareness and the thoughts that are occurring, I can begin to realize that this really doesn't have as much to do with me and as much to do with my personality and my desires and what I want to happen in life. It is really just something that these thoughts really are occurring, much of them on their own. Now, I do want to say that I have certainly found myself over the long haul, so to speak, that yes, I can certainly perpetuate these thoughts. I can, once a thought occurs, I realize I can, on a certain level, if I choose to, I can will certain thoughts to come about. I can engage in certain thoughts. If I'm really focused on something, I can continue to think it once and then again and again and again. So there's certainly a part of this that I can bring about if I choose to. If thoughts randomly occur as many, many times, much of the time even, I would say, at least for me, that is what happens. And without getting into all of the analysis of why the thoughts happen, why certain thoughts happen repetitively, why I find myself struggling with certain thoughts, this is really more of taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture. And when I do that, I recognize that these thoughts, no matter what I do or don't do, they are going to happen. And when I really sit back and just simply pay attention to them, and the idea here is not to pay attention to them, not to latch onto them or to cling to them. It is actually the exact opposite. I am paying attention to them. I am continuing to practice being aware in every moment that I possibly can. And it's not a struggle. It's not a striving. It's just that the more that I choose to pay attention to these thoughts, the more that I will do that. And of course, because I am human, I am certainly going to have times, and I do every day, multiple times a day. There are things that I allow my attention and awareness to be taken away to. I get caught up in something else, and it has to do with, you know, thoughts about what is happening, internal reactions, emotional reactions to what's going on right in front of me and what is happening around me. But when I can really take a step back and pay attention to what it is, you know, the thoughts that seem to come up the most. And there again, this is not from a definite focused analysis or a tabulating or keeping track of what these thoughts are concerning. This is more along the lines of simply letting some distance, allowing some distance to occur between me and my thoughts. Because if the practice has done anything for me, in addition to being able to cultivate this headspace, to be able to have this conscious awareness of what these thoughts are, it has also allowed me to recognize that I have the ability, if I am not busy being the person actually believing anything that I'm thinking about what I'm feeling, I can just simply see these things come and go. I can simply just be a part of the process. I don't have to divest myself from it. I don't have to uninvest any identification with these thoughts. I just simply can remember in these moments. And it's really remembering without trying to remember. It's more along the lines of just by allowing these thoughts to occur without any need to believe that I'm the person having them and to believe what it is that I'm thinking, there is this wonderful space that opens up where I can just begin as, and it's all in the middle of life while it's all happening. I've always spoken about mindful coping practice. It's really just an outgrowth. It's really there. It's not a formal practice per se. What it really is, and I've only realized this recently because I haven't thought about it a lot. I haven't really had an agenda with speaking about it. But it really ultimately, mindful coping is the outgrowth. It is the fruits of this practice of mindfulness. It is this ability to be able to be out in the world, around other people, in the middle of life while it is all happening, and sometimes at an overwhelming pace. And there's sometimes so much going on that it is amazing to me to think that there can be any perspective at all, there can be any headspace at all, and yet there is. And it doesn't have anything to do with my abilities as a human being. I certainly don't have any unique gifts of any kind. I'm just a simple, normal, everyday human being. And it is really speaking about the power of the practice. But the more that I am being aware of these thoughts, I can actually begin to see patterns without trying to see patterns. It's just that if I'm here in the present moment, being here, right here, being here now, as my guru used to say, being right here now, being here now where it's all happening, however it's happening, however I am, however other people are, that I can begin to see that there are certain themes that come up. And it's not for me to make a list of these things, but it's just it's having an awareness of them. And it's also at the same time as I begin to see these long-term patterns of thought and how I react to certain situations or how I react to the actions of other people or possibly the inactions of other people when I have any expectations of them, that I can ultimately see what is going on behind the scenes. I can see if I'm struggling at all, if there have been any long-term struggles, and there certainly have been. But I can begin to see that so many of these struggles are really nothing more than habits of thought. If I believe certain things about what's going on, if I identify as being a certain person who has things happening to me, and that's not to deny that sometimes as human beings, we can legitimately be victims of the actions of other people. But this is more along the lines of just, you know, everyday, what I call everyday garden variety interactions with people. We're simply moving about in the world, doing our work, working with other people. And I'm not saying formally doing our work, just simply going about the business of our lives, so to speak, just living life. And through that experience, what I have found is that the thoughts that come up more than any, and it's not even like I was intending to speak today. I wasn't trying to do any deep long-term analysis, but essentially I became aware earlier this week, and this is something that there's been a growing awareness of this as I have gone through changes in my own life and finding myself out in the world doing a different kind of work, finding myself in a lot of different situations, that there have been a lot of thoughts around wanting things from other people. Not only one, and when I say wanting things from other people, I'm not even speaking about tangible things. What I'm speaking about is I'm wanting certain reactions. I have my ideas about what reactions that I want and what I'm hoping for and what I'm striving for and what I'm working for. And it's so, to me, it's so normal and it's so natural and it's so human to have a desired outcome. And it may not always be the exact same outcome, but there is a certain theme to this. And ultimately, it is something that I had a realization that, and I had one of my dear teachers actually speak about this earlier this week, that the recognition is that if I want anything from anyone, no matter what it is, and whether it's a certain response, a reaction, it's not always a tangible thing. If I just want a certain outcome, I want someone to flow along with however I expect that life is going to unfold. If I want something from other people, and it also can be about wanting something from myself, if I'm expecting myself, if I'm expecting me to be a certain way in response to other people's behavior, if I'm expecting to go out into the world and be a certain person, and this is all just based in thoughts and beliefs. I have this idea of who I should be and how I should be. And I can also do this with other people. I can easily have expectations of other people. And if I try to do this, then I expect this to happen. So it's not always necessarily wanting anything tangible from people. It is just simply that I'm looking for certain outcomes. And when I do that, and this was something that my teacher mentioned to me earlier this week, that when I want something from people, the recognition that my heart is simply not open, when I'm wanting something from someone else, wanting something from myself, having some idea about how it should be, no matter what the situation is, my heart is not open. And my mind is not open. And after he said that to me, there was an immediate recognition and realization that that's exactly what has been happening. I have, in some cases, found myself struggling and striving while being aware of the fact that I'm struggling and striving, in spite of the fact that I know that struggling and striving just in of itself can be something that I can use up a lot of my vital life's energy. I can use a lot of my focus, and there's only so much of that as a mortal human being. I only have so much energy to bring to bear each and every day, and really in each and every moment. But if I am so busy wrapped up in wanting things from other people, whether it be acceptance or understanding or attention or adulation or recognition or whatever it is, it could just simply be someone doing what it is that might, you know, in terms of the outcome of the efforts that I make. If I do this and I do this and I do this, I expect this to happen and that to happen. And it all really is based on having expectations for what I want from other people, what I'm hoping to happen, how I'm expecting it to unfold. And when I'm doing that, my heart is not open. And I know it's very easy to utilize that as an abstract concept, just to say the phrase, my heart is not open. And so I wanted to go a little bit deeper with that about the question might arise, what exactly does that mean if my heart is not open? And I realize each and every person has their own unique experience of this. So all I can really do is speak to what my experiences have been. But I know that when my heart is not open, I am not open at all to how things really are. I may not like how it is. I may not want it to be the way that it is, but regardless of whether I want whether I'm okay with things being as they are, if I am literally fighting against that, if I am trying to make so much effort to try to overcome the barriers to getting to where the outcome that I want, and clearly in a lot of cases that's where I find myself, then the only reason that that is happening is because I am reacting to how it actually is. If I'm not okay, and I realize that's just a phrase, if I'm not okay with actually how it actually is, then there are a lot of thoughts that occur around that. I can have a lot of emotional reactions to that. And all that does is it can put me in a position where I become more physically contracted. My muscles tighten. I don't feel as open with people. I can't really be relaxed and hear people saying whatever it is they're saying to me. I can't really see the situation as it actually is and how it's unfolding. There's no opportunity for me to flow with it. And in order to flow with it, my heart, I have found, this is not a belief, but I've generally found that the only way for that to occur is for my heart to be open. And I know that in ancient Chinese teachings, there was this, they spoke of the heart-mind. And I may not have this 100% correct, but I do find that wherever my mind is generally has something to do with where my heart is. And that those things always seem to be linked together. If my mind is really in a struggle, if my mind is in resistance, if I'm thinking thoughts of resistance, if I'm emotionally closed up and contracted, then my heart is generally the compassion that I have for other people that I sense exists in that heart. And I realize this is not only my physical heart, but what has also been spoken of by many ancient traditions, the spiritual heart. And I know that on some level, these things probably in terms of where they're happening in our physiology become very abstract. At some point, it is just about our, you know, my consciousness. It's just about how I am. Am I open to things, however they are, whether I like them or not? Am I finding myself, no matter how much I struggle to make something happen, the more that it doesn't happen, the more that I don't get the outcome that I am desiring, the more that I don't get what I want from other people, what is going on? And that's really what I found myself doing earlier this week. I began paying attention. I could see that I was struggling. I could see that I was striving while knowing that, and this is there again, this is not a judgment or a belief. I just know for myself, the more I struggle and strive to make something happen, really what I find is that I just cause myself a lot of needless suffering. And that's just my own, that's just how I feel about it. That's how I think about it. And that's ultimately been what my experience, how it has unfolded, that the more I am struggling and striving to bring about a certain outcome, the more that I am suffering. And I don't have to suffer. I can simply make efforts. And years ago, this was something that was really, really a major revelation to me, was making efforts without any expectation of any outcome whatsoever. And I know that there is in ancient Hindu literature, in ancient Indian literature, there are texts that actually speak of the benefits of and how important it is to make efforts without being attached to, and I've read this said a certain way, without being attached to the fruits of the effort, without being attached to any specific outcome, that there will always be suffering if I am attached and expecting anything to occur as a result of any effort that I make. And I know that on a certain level, getting up every day and going out in the world and making what feel like, and when I say feel, not emotionally, but just what I intuitively sense, are the actions that make the most sense to me to make. And I always want to be open to the possibility that it's not the right actions to take. And how can I ever really know? I can drive myself completely crazy trying to figure out what the right actions are. But there's part of knowing this is a way of knowing without knowing. This is how I've heard it referred to this way before. It is just having this intuitive sense that this is the right course of action, and not morally right. I'm not speaking about right or wrong from a moralistic standpoint. I'm just speaking of what feels like what is in harmony with where I find myself, how I find myself, where I find myself in relation to others. And just simply being able and willing to learn, to continue to learn. And I heard another teacher years ago speak about the whole idea of learning how to learn. And I never had even considered that before, that all of these opportunities, if I'm busy, focused, and fixated on having a certain outcome, and the only thing that ties me and locks me to that are my thoughts and the beliefs that ultimately form that I begin to attach to, and how I identify and I get busy being the person that needs it to be a certain way, and that there is actually this opportunity, should I choose to take it, of simply allowing myself to learn from life as it unfolds, to no longer need to have all the answers. I can have the questions. I can live in the questions, so to speak, but I don't necessarily have to have the answers. The answers simply will present themselves. But I know that it is very difficult for me to take this kind of more relaxed stance to life. And this doesn't mean relaxed as being inactive or in retreat from life or withdrawal from life. This is a relaxed stance that is occurring in the middle of life. I'm essentially being able to be mindful, being more aware, being more conscious while on my feet, out in the world, out in the middle of life, while it's all happening. And there is an ability to appreciate the things that don't go. If I have any idea of how I want it to go, there are so many things that I can learn from how it doesn't go according to my wishes or according to my beliefs about how it should go, what outcome should occur. But I can't ever pay any attention to those things if I am very locked into these thoughts and investing time and energy in thoughts about what I want from others, what I need from others. And the only reason that I want anything from anyone or need anything from anyone, in many cases, I realize there are situations as human beings where I may have a legitimate need. There may be some sort of emergency or crisis, and I may need something in order to survive. But so much of the time, this is just about me trying to, in some way or another, get what it is that I want or have the outcome that I desire. And if I can just basically relax and recognize that that's just me being human again, when I catch myself in the act of doing that, so to speak, I can just let go of that. And when I do, I have this opportunity that's available to all of us to simply flow with whatever is occurring, however it is occurring, and to be able to learn from whatever is occurring. And at some point, it ceases to feel like a struggle. I'm not always getting what I want. I may never, or very seldom, may really ever get what it is that I want. But at a certain level of consciousness, what I want and how I react to that and how I don't get what I want really become something that either whether I find myself wanting something to go a certain way or to be a certain way or to not want it to be a certain way, if I'm attached to either one of those, if I'm giving a lot of time and energy to the thoughts that I'm having about either of those polarities, I'm not really free to just simply be here now, to be present without any attachments and clinging to. And that's where the suffering is. I know that after studying Buddhist teachings many years ago, that's what I found, that was the attachments and the clinging to needing and wanting certain things. That is ultimately where I have found the suffering to be. And after learning a lot in terms of reading the wisdom of many of those ancient teachers, that I could see that in myself and begin to relax that and to let go of that and to recognize that I can still be a human being living life, and in many cases can live it more peacefully, more purposefully, and more present, however it is, whether I'm getting what I want or not. And on some level, those things just become part of the human experience that just happen. I can't make them not happen. I can't really force myself to either want things to be a certain way or not want them to be a certain way. It just simply becomes part of life unfolding, and I don't have to identify with it. I don't have to take it so seriously. And it has certainly made life more joyous. It has certainly made life more meaningful. It has certainly made life, there's been more joy there, just recognizing that these things happen, but I don't necessarily have to invest my identity or any effort, any time or energy in perpetuating them. They simply come and go. These are just notions that come and go. And just to flow with life as it is without actually needing to believe any of these things, I can simply actually be here for whatever is actually occurring.